The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, I never thought I would see the day when the oil price would sink below zero, Howard.
It's just completely insane. It has been a year so far. I mean, and we're still in April of unimaginable things. We've seen things that we could not have dreamed of seeing in December 2019 or even January 2020.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, when you look at the economic effects of what's going on around the world at the moment, an interesting little article I saw is that the International Monetary Fund has predicted that the Israeli economy will shrink by more than 6% in 2020. That's just unimaginable. It's a number which I don't know if there's ever been in the history of the state of Israel a shrink of 6% in 1 year. And yet in the context of what we're seeing right now, nobody's really that shocked.
That's the worst part about it is how quickly we've adjusted and to trying to figure out what this world looks like.
True. I mean, I think we are very, as a general rule, I think we do adjust quite easily. Mm. The question is, have we become too accepting? In other words, is it just too easy to roll into the situation that we find ourselves in and just accept it and move on? Sometimes I think being malleable and being able to, fit into a situation is a good thing, but it's not always such a good thing for us just to accept it and just to move on from there. Another interesting little piece that is in the newspapers is that apparently this swap of prisoners that we spoke about a few days ago that's been discussed between Israeli government and Hamas in Gaza seems to be nearer if we believe what we're reading in the press. One of the conditions apparently that was laid down was that there would be an Israeli government, which we now have, albeit a kind of strange government and one that's going to take apparently quite some time in order to actually put in place. But as far as the prisoner exchange is concerned, that seems to have satisfied the condition. And so there is definitely some positive feedbacks and some positive news messages that are being sent from Hamas in Gaza about the possibility of this prisoner exchange taking place. So if that happens, I think it'll be at least one good thing coming out of the situation, because I do think that the current strange situation in which we find ourselves has been a contributing factor to this.
Mm. All right, and tell us about this arrest of three Hamas operatives.
So there was a video that was released, actually, helmet cam video was released by the Israeli security services that shows the arrest of a terrorist cell that has apparently been behind some plans to attack military and civilian targets in the Jerusalem area. And there are some quite interesting snippets of information that have been released about not only the arrest itself, but the work that went into following these individuals and finally tracking down exactly what they were planning to do. These are three individuals who were attending Beer Zayit University, where we understand Hamas has quite a strong presence. And they became friendly and began to cooperate with each other, together with some representative on the university campus of Hamas who was feeding them information and apparently even financing them and linking them to the Hamas machinery in order to allow them to carry out these terror attacks. Fortunately, these arrests, this arrest that took place over the past few days was enough to prevent those attacks from taking place. One of the individuals, even though they all reside near to Jerusalem on the eastern side of Jerusalem, but one of them in particular actually has an Israeli ID card, is an Israeli citizen for all intents and purposes, and therefore has freedom of movement. There's nothing to stop him from moving wherever he wishes to go within the borders of the state of Israel. And he, one of the locations that they were planning to attack was apparently the Teddy Stadium in Jerusalem, which is the main football ground named after the famous ex-mayor of Jerusalem, Teddy Kollek. This is a stadium that can house up to 30,000 people. Now, obviously, the lockdown hasn't helped their cause because there haven't been events going on at that stadium already for a little while. But one could just imagine what might have happened if they had succeeded in carrying out a terror attack at the Teddy Stadium. And this individual, the one member of the cell who is an Israeli citizen, had apparently gone along to the stadium, which he's fully entitled to do as an Israeli citizen. He'd attended an event at the stadium in order to scout, to check out, to do some intelligence, to see what the security arrangements are, to see how the stadium is set out and that kind of stuff. And he had absolute freedom of movement to do so. And so that is certainly a very, very scary prospect in terms of the fact that there are people who are Israeli citizens who are plotting together with enemies of Israel to carry out terror attacks against Israeli civilians, innocent people. Even in a football stadium in Jerusalem, which is, I think, a very sad story and very concerning. Good for us that we have our intelligence services who were on this, who were following these individuals, who were tracking what they were planning to do. They were also planning to carry out terror attacks against some military targets in the Jerusalem area and in the West Bank area as well. So fortunately, they've now been arrested, and of course, the intelligence information that our security services managed to pick up is being used, being interpreted, being analyzed. The arrests are always quite timely. In other words, there's always a dilemma as to when the arrest should take place. It obviously needs to take place before the moment that any terror attack is actually carried out, but also not too early, because if it's carried out too early, then they lose the opportunity to gather further intelligence information to link other people who might be involved in the chain. So they always try to allow to let the leash out as much as they can, and, you know, involve as many people as they can before they finally carry out this raid. So the timing is interesting, particularly because we know that there's going to be no concept or no possibility of any events taking place in the Teddy Stadium anytime soon. But my interpretation is that there was probably some kind of an attack that they were planning to carry out, and rather than allow that to proceed, the arrest took place. So even though many of the state's activities, even in the intelligence community, even in the security services, are really being focused now on fighting the coronavirus issue. Lots of intelligence work going on there. Some of the most elite army units have now refocused their attention to fight against corona. We see that they haven't given up the task of making sure that Israelis are physically safe as well from people who might want to carry out terror attacks in this way.
Very interesting. There's also been a noticeable increase in traffic on Israel's roads over the last couple of days as people slowly return to work, or a combination, I guess. Where is Israel in terms of the ease of lockdown?
Well, the dilemma that we have, and I think most countries have, is that on the one hand, from a medical perspective, we would like the lockdown to be longer. We would like to keep people socially distant from each other as long as it's possible. We'd like to keep people at home as long as possible. Excuse me. On the other hand, we have this dilemma of, first of all, people's mental health, because there are now a lot of studies coming out saying actually that more damage could be done to people's mental health by keeping them locked down than the damage that could be done by allowing them to be infected by corona. I'm not entirely convinced about that, but surely there must be some basis to that argument. And also, there is this issue about the economy, which we spoke about earlier, where we're already looking at a 6% or more decrease, reduction in the Israeli economy over the next 9 months. And people are very, very concerned that the longer the lockdown takes place, the much harder it's going to be to kickstart the economy and get people back to work. So there is a very, very strong pull from both sides as to what the right thing is to do. And at the moment, the cord is just being let out a little bit. People are allowed to go back to work under particular conditions, and people, you know, the authorities want to see how that's going and how that might affect the environment. What's interesting for me is that we see definite waves of people being infected, which come as a result of particular events. For example, the people who were infected at Purim, we saw exactly that they got together, they had these Purim parties, they infected each other. There was a huge wave of people who were ill within 2 or 3 weeks after that, where we saw suddenly a massive increase of people. Then we saw that people, particularly within Bnei Brak and within Jerusalem, within the ultra-Orthodox community, didn't adhere to the conditions that the social distancing requirements that were laid down. And then we suddenly saw a wave of people becoming ill as a result of that. Now, interestingly enough, we're seeing a wave of people who became ill as a result of not adhering to the Pesach restrictions that were laid down. And in particular, in the town of Netivot, on the Gaza border area, there is a street where 16 people have been infected. And it turns out that they ignored the government's requirement not to get together for Leila Seder, for Pesach, and they all infected each other, members of the same family from within the same street, and now they are all ill, having infected each other, children, adults, all of them, as a result of having ignored the government's demand. It wasn't even a request, it was a strong demand. Don't do it. Don't get together. Everybody stay home. Sing Manish Tana from your balconies and from your gardens, but don't get together. So these people ignored that. And as a result of it, unfortunately, many of them are now ill with corona. And so we see it in waves. So there's a little bit of a dilemma going on, because on the one hand, we're trying to release the economy and get people back to work, get people, the economy kickstart again. On the other hand, we've got Yom HaTzmaut and Yom HaZikaron next week, where there's going to be a very, very firm lockdown. We've also got Ramadan coming up, where there's also going to be a particular ban on people getting together for iftar, for the meal at the end of the day, after fasting for Ramadan. So we've got these issues which are going to need to be dealt with. And looking forward, we've also got Lag BaOmer coming up, which is also very much a festival where people like to get together. And of course, Shavuot is not that far away. We just passed 2 weeks into the Omer. So that means 5 weeks left to go until Shavuot. And once again, people will want to get together. So I think that the government is really trying to fight preventing people from getting together for these festivals, as opposed to allowing the economy to start up again and potentially getting the schools back together, back to working, and other usual events. But I think that we're going to see this dilemma probably over the next year or so, I would even suggest, until such time as a vaccine is in place, until such time as there's some sort of a herd immunity where people have some sort of a way of fighting against the virus, and that we're not going to see such serious illnesses. Unfortunately, Israel is approaching now almost 200 people who have died as a result of the coronavirus. We're already into the 190s. And, you know, one can expect that that'll increase over the next few days. It'll certainly be more than 200. And unfortunately, almost 15,000, I think 14,500 now people who have been diagnosed as infected with the virus. Lots of, you know, issues around the edges. A whole lot of the tests that came from China have been found to be faulty. And so that's really stopped the testing program. Israel had finally managed to get to a situation where they were testing 10,000 people a day and more. Yesterday it was suddenly halted because of these faulty tests that came from China. So lots of issues along the way in terms of getting people tested and getting people treated. But overall, I have to say, I think the medical staff have done an absolutely phenomenal job of dealing with the situation. Magen David Adom have really set up their mobile stations, have gone to people's homes and tried to do whatever they can, putting themselves in harm's way. So overall, you know, we're in a situation now where we're not exactly sure where this is all going to go. But certainly the trend at the moment is to allow people to get back to some semblance of normality. And let's hope that that trend will continue and that we won't have to suddenly find the cord being jerked back again as a result of another second wave, because there are people who are predicting that too. So let's hope that they will be wrong, and that we can somehow just slowly but surely increase the traffic on the roads and finally get the restaurants and other eating places and other places where people would congregate, get that opened up a little bit. But I think it's going to take some time until we finally get to that situation.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I'm listening and just thinking, you know, you guys are a couple of weeks ahead of us. So the model that Israel has followed is pretty similar to what South Africa's followed. The difference being here, we went into hard lockdown quickly, but we seem to be heading in the same, following very similar type of patterns. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you on Monday. Please stay safe, stay healthy, have a Shabbat Shalom, and we will speak to you there.